This morning, we're just very, very especially blessed to have with us our dear brother, extended family, truly in Christ, and that is Pastor Peter Jangaja. And he's sitting here on the front row. There's a picture of him in action at the river in previous times. Brother, we're glad that you're here. We're so blessed to have Peter. His visit, though, it is a bittersweet for us because, as you know, many of you do know, our dear sister, Peter's wife, Grace, went home to be with Jesus on September 9th after a long, valiant battle with cancer. So many years standing strong in the Lord, an amazing woman of God that those of you who know from her visits here in the past, and she was here last time with Pastor Peter, just a tremendous woman of God, and we received so much from her. Heaven is richer. We feel so much poorer, but we know that God's grace is with us, and Pastor Peter is really eager to have our prayers for himself and his family as he moves forward in the ministry that the Lord has called him to do, and which we have been partnering with for the past 20 years. We met Peter and Grace in 2005 when they came to Reno. And it was at that time that the Lord just struck our hearts in relationship. And the Lord, I know, spoke directly to me to say, you're to partner with this brother. And so from that time on, we have partnered with them. It's been a joy to support the ministry and to watch it grow over the years. And along the way, I've also even tried to pick up a little bit of the language, just a little bit of Shona, the language that they speak. And so this morning, in a very, I'm sure, feeble attempt to get it right, but I want to try anyway, just to honor, I want to say, Peter, Mangwanani Akanaka. Good morning. Yes, thank you. I also want to say, Mwari Vaku Komborere. May God bless you. You know, one more. This is the hard one. Nasi Tisha Sangana Nashe.
Today we meet in the presence of the Lord.
Today we meet in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that great? Now listen, here's what the real treat. I asked him to preach in that language to you today. And we're going to see your discernment in Jesus, how deep it goes. Anyway, it's a beautiful language, a beautiful people. We've sent teams from the past. Listen, we've been a part of helping partner with this ministry, watching it build over the years. And I asked Peter if he would just give me just a moment before he comes to preach to share with you just a quick strategic overview of Christian Light Ministries International Church. And this is for 2025 ahead. And by the way, this is what you're going to see as I'm talking. This is the church that we helped partner with them to build. And that was completed in 2015? Yeah. 2015. And we sent a team over there to be a part of that dedication service. But let me talk to you about this ministry. Established in 2001, their vision statement is transforming lives, advancing God's kingdom. Their mission statement is to empower believers to become champions for Christ, equipped for extraordinary ministry, and dedicated to creating Christ-centered communities that transform every area of life. Here's the current ministry overview. They are located in 34 locations in Zimbabwe, and there's one in South Africa. There's currently under their leadership 20 pastors, 16 evangelists who are working. Now, here's what their focus strategically in prayer and action is going to be for this year. They're going to be focusing on growth and stability, strengthening the church's foundation and expanding its reach in both existing and new locations. They're going to focus on sustainable growth in Zimbabwe and South Africa. Secondly, leadership development. They're going to equip and empower leaders through mentorship, training programs, and leadership retreats. They'll focus on developing spiritual and administrative leadership across all the locations. And of course, right along with that, they're going to be strengthening congregations. They will foster deeper spiritual growth within each congregation, provide resources and support to pastors and ministry leaders to continue to ensure that they thrive and have engaged communities. And of course, we give, and a number of us give, to support pastors there every month. We have for years, and you can get in on that, and I'll tell you more about that later. Also, soul winning and evangelism. Expand evangelistic efforts both locally and regionally through outreach programs, crusades, and media initiatives. They want to foster a culture of evangelism within the church, equipping members to share the gospel. They're also going to pursue home group and church planting like never before. They're going to promote the growth of small groups to encourage discipleship and deeper connections, continue expanding the church network through new church plants to reach more communities. They're going to be supporting more pastors and evangelists, resourcing them to ensure they're spiritually, emotionally, and practically equipped for ministry. They're also going to be working on financial and material support, strengthening stewardship and developing sustainable financial support of the church's mission, encouraging generous giving, building partnerships to fund ministry initiatives. In addition to all that, they're going to be involved in infrastructure development and expansion. They're investing in church building projects, expansion of facilities to accommodate growing congregations. They're exploring transportation options like church buses to help facilitate mobility for their members. And in their spare time, he's going to be establishing a Bible school and a leadership pipeline, launching a Bible school to train and raise up leaders for ministry, focusing on creating a clear leadership pipeline for church and marketplace leaders. They're going to be involved in feeding programs, expanding their outreach through feeding programs aimed at supporting vulnerable communities, providing holistic care alongside spiritual nourishment. And children have a big place in their hearts. They are going to be sponsoring children's education, providing educational support for kids in need, ensuring that young people have access to the resources necessary for academic success. Now that's a big vision, folks, and that's a big ministry. And brother, you have truly been faithful to the Lord to grow this ministry over the years, and of course, with Grace by your side. Wonderful team. But I just want to say, I commend you, and our congregation commends you. You have done so much in the last 20 years. It's astonishing. When we first met him, he had one church and another one that was kind of in the planting stages and just getting developed. He was 37 years old. And wow, praise the Lord for all the work that's been done. You know, sometimes when you hear the Lord say strategically partner with somebody and you say, Lord, we want to make sure, you know, we're investing that's good seed and I want to put it in good soil. This man and this woman of God and this ministry, this family, and the people that are in their congregations that partner, they've been wonderful stewards. And we have been the recipients of so much of their love and intercession for us. And they're coming and giving us the word of God. I'm telling you, it's been really a marriage in that sense made in heaven. I'm so grateful to call you my brother, as well as my pastor and friend. I mean, look, it's so great. They're going to be this year following this scripture, Ecclesiastes 11, 4-6. He who watches the wind will never sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. So sow your seed in the morning and don't be idle with your hands in the evening, for you don't know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both alike will be good. And Peter just wrote, this scripture aligns with our mission to sow seeds of faith, leadership, and transformation without waiting for the perfect circumstances, trusting that God will bring the increase. So 2025, a year of dynamic growth, a year of dynamic increase and influence with all this focused prayer and strategic partnerships with people just like us. We're hopefully right there at the top with you. They're going to be empowering individuals, strengthening communities, and creating lasting transformation in Zimbabwe and South Africa. And so Peter is, of course, delighted that we're in there with him. But there might be somebody here today you're going to say, I want to become part of this too. I hope so, because it's a wonderful blessing. And I want to say too, did you know, Zimbabwe, the conditions there are still very challenging. I mean, we thought that after Mugabe stepped down, that things were going to be different. But the truth is, the man that succeeded him is equally in the same vein of thought and mode of action. And so the nation is 95% unemployed. It's hard for us to understand that. It's hard for us to appreciate what they're doing with the resources that God has given them. And we have to help support that. And we do. But you know, God has a way of multiplying loaves and fishes. And I think this is one of those stories. And I mean, I just go, Lord Jesus, thank you for what we have given, how you have taken it, multiplied it, and with your faithfulness and Jesus' grace, you have done so, so much. It's a privilege to partner with you, my brother, and to have you here with us again today. So as he prepares to come in just a moment, I do want to say this. At the conclusion of Pastor's message today, we are going to have a prayer line. So what I would like to do is just invite you at this time, if you say, you know, I came with a need today, talk to Jesus about it during the course of this service and say, Lord, I want to come and get a touch from you in this certain area. What Pastor Peter wants to do is just agree with your faith, agree with what you're asking Jesus for. It's always we're asking the Lord Jesus. He just uses vessels to join with and add faith to and release grace in. So think about that. And if you feel like you're someone that wants to come up, and it'll be just simply, he'll be putting his hand on you and blessing you in the name of the Lord and asking the Lord to meet the need. But be thinking about that now. Transact that with Jesus in your own heart. So when you come, it'll be that simple that we'll be able to agree with you in prayer. And let's just believe the Lord's going to do some really neat things and release some great things in lives today. Is that all right? I think we should have that expectancy. I do. All right. That being said, everyone, I then ask you to give a really super warm welcome back to the River Christian Church to our dear beloved brother, Pastor Peter Jean-Gaja. Come on up. Should we use this? Do you want to use this if you can? Or do you want to use the headset? What do you want to do? Try this and see if it works.
Okay.
And if it doesn't, go to the other one.
Okay. All right.
Hmm? Good. Oh, okay. So.
How are you? Ah. It's such a joy to have a privilege to be back home. I can confidently say this is my second home because of the love that you have given me over the years. I feel so loved, I feel so connected, I feel so encouraged each time that I am here. Thank you so much, Pastor Rod, and the whole leadership, the assistant pastors, and everybody for making it possible to come this time around. Before we look into the Word of God, I wanted to take just 2 minutes to say whatever Pastor has spoken about today, the river is greatly part of it. Those are the fruits of your prayers. Those are the fruits of your giving. Those are the fruits of your labor over time. So when you look at yourself today, the way we are right now, I want you to envisage in part of your influence and growth together with what God is doing in Zimbabwe, in Africa. So I want to take this time to say thank you so much for standing with us. All the things that you hear, it's because of how you are praying with us, how you are supporting us financially and otherwise. And may God richly bless you. I also wanted to say thank you so much for praying for us with Grace. When she wasn't well, it was a very trying time. You send resources, you send prayers, you're there with us. I want to say thank you and may God richly bless you. I tend to be emotional because the wound is kind of still fresh, but I wanted to portray that today. May God bless you. Amen. So this morning we are going to get into the Word of the Lord. I want to greet those that are watching from online and say thank you so much for being part of this service today. I want to talk on the subject I entitled, There Is Still Room. There is still room. Would you like to say to your neighbor, there is still room? Huh? Again, the other one, there is still room. Uh-huh. It is a prophetic statement, and God is going to help us together, even as we are going to go through the Word of God. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. We give you praise, for this is the day that the Lord has made. So we rejoice in your presence, because you love us, because you are so good to us, regardless of the circumstances that we may find ourselves in. As your word says, you have a perfect plan for each and every one of us. Sometimes we do not understand how things work and why things happen, but overall we know you have a good plan of our lives. And we say, thank you, King Jesus. Speak to us this morning, even as we share the word of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Luke chapter number 14, verse 22 is our guideline. Luke chapter 14, verse 22. I will just read that one verse and explain a little bit the story around that as we move forward. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and there is still room. Master, it is done as you commanded, but there is still room. When we read this passage, it is that time when the Lord Jesus Christ is giving an illustration or a parable, and he says there's this man who needed to do a banquet for a party that he wanted to do for his family, and he invited so many different people to come to that occasion. And many people that were invited did not turn up. And as they did not turn up, he sent his servants to the highways and the byways, to the different places, the marketplaces, and he said to them, go and invite whoever that you find and make sure that my house is full. And they went everywhere, and they brought people from everywhere, and there were so many people in that house. But when they had done that, and they went to give a report to their master, and they said, Master, we have done everything you have told us, but there's something that we want you to know. We are failing to fill this room. No matter how we are trying, no matter what we are doing, there is still room in this place. We can still accommodate more. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to us this morning, in the kingdom of God, there is still room. Hallelujah. There is still room, and there is room for us to do so many different things that we are going to be seeing today. It doesn't matter how many Christians are there in the world, there is still room. It doesn't matter how many pastors are there in the world, there is still room. It doesn't matter what we do, but there is still room in the house of the Lord. And I want us to see some areas that God has to help us and where we need to see that there is still room. Number one, regardless of when we gave our lives to Christ, regardless of the challenges and difficulties that we might have gone, regardless of what the doctors might have said to us, regardless of what our families may have gone through, I stand here today and say there is still room for miracles, there is still room for breakthrough, there is still room for God to intervene, there is still room for God to touch your children, there's still room for God to transform someone. Those that you have been praying for, there is still room. God will touch them today, and God is able to do something in the lives of everyone in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Ah, ladies and gentlemen, I come here by the Spirit of the living God to encourage my brothers and my sisters today and say, come on, my brothers, come on, my sisters. There is still room in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter where your children are. They may be deep in drugs. I'm here to say there is still room for those to come to the Lord. If the prodigal son came back to Christ, your son can come back, your daughter can come back, there is still room for transformation. It doesn't matter what people have said, ladies and gentlemen, in this kingdom, in the house of the Lord, there is still room. Glory be to the name of the living God. No matter what you are going through and no matter what is happening around you. Ladies and gentlemen, hallelujah. I have lost my wife. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I fasted and I did all that I knew how to do. Hallelujah. But even though my wife is gone, I am standing here today. There is still room for healing. If there's someone who is sick here, you may be suffering from cancer. You may be suffering from heart condition. You may be suffering from different certain things, there is still room for your healing. There's still room for your breakthrough. There's still room for God to touch you. What happened yesterday cannot stop God to perform miracles today. Hallelujah. Shake your neighbor and say, there's a chance for you. Hallelujah. And there's a chance for me. There's a chance for our children. It doesn't matter what's happening to them. There is still room. One day, we'll see them coming in. Hallelujah. One day, we'll see them raising up their hands. One day, we'll give a testimony and say, our God has done it again. Hallelujah. There is still room for the prodigal son to come back. Glory be to the name of the living God. There is still room for that cancer to be healed. That's why I believe today, as we are preaching right now, some people are getting healed. Hallelujah. Because the healer is in the house. I say the healer is in the house. I say the healer is in the house. I buried my wife yesterday, but the healer is still in the house. Glory be to the name of the living God. As long as we are alive, hallelujah. The Bible says a living dog is better than a dead lion. Glory be to the name of the living God. Hallelujah. You are alive. I am alive. There is hope that God can meet us at the point of our needs. Glory be to the name of the living God. Your story is about to change. My story can still change because God is able. Recently, as we were going around doing ministry, we planted a church about 130 miles from Harare. And there was a man there who was in a wheelchair for so many years, since he was a small boy. I think he was affected by polio. I don't know whether anybody is familiar with polio that can actually cripple somebody. I don't know whether I'm pronouncing it in a way that you hear polio, that disease. Yeah, so he was affected by polio when he was about 12 and he couldn't walk. And the man is 35 years. And our team goes there with the gospel, because the Bible says, go ye therefore and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, these signs and wonders shall follow you as you go and preach the gospel. When they were preaching the gospel there, this man had come to our conferences in Harare at that church. I think he had come twice in his wheelchair. And this time around, they go there, I send a team. While they were just worshiping the Lord, God performed a miracle. The young man just stood from, the wheelchair. And he's just started running around. And he's just started praising the Lord with the others. And he threw his wheelchair there. Ladies and gentlemen, there is still room for miracles. There is still room for deliverance. There is still room for the power of the Lord to operate. We thank God for medical aid, but there is still room for healing. Hallelujah. We thank God for our doctors. Thank you for praying for me. I had surgery from here to there, 42 stitches. They actually had to put those, if we have those that are in the medical field, they had to put staplers. So many staplers, they were shining on all over my stomach. We thank God for, you know, the medicine. We thank God for all that God can do to help us. But there are some times, hallelujah, where God chooses to help us through doctors, and there are some times where God chooses to heal us supernaturally. And I believe even in this service today, there is still room for somebody to be touched and to be healed by God completely. When we were in Arkansas, last week, there was a certain lady who was supposed to go for surgery. She had a knee surgery, and she was supposed to have another knee surgery. And, you know, there was snow like this, and for some reason, as she was walking, she kind of tripped, and she fell with the same knee. She was in excruciating pain. They called the doctors. They did everything that they could, and so on. She was on medication, and due to go for surgery, should be on the 5th of February, if I'm not mistaken. On the 5th of February, she's supposed to go there. But she is in this pain, and we met with some few brethren, and we started to call upon the name of the Lord. And we said, God can still touch, God can still heal. When I was told that morning, you know, I was so depressed because I was thinking of Grace, my wife. She was so dear to me. And the devil was saying, you prayed. She didn't get healed. She still died. So what do you think you are? So as a pastor, they then called me and they said, Pastor, can you come to pray for this lady? She's in excruciating pain. I said, of course. So we went there. We prayed. As we were praying, God touched her instantly. And that pain went immediately. And she said, I'm feeling fine. I'm now feeling okay. It is okay. And by the time we left that, she was up and down running, and that pain was gone. What am I talking about? Ladies and gentlemen, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter where we are, and no matter what is happening in our lives, we need to remember there is still room for God to intervene, and there's still room for God to do a great and mighty things in our lives. Hallelujah. Number two, I said number one, there is still room for the supernatural. There's still room for God to do, you know, great things. The Bible says in the last days, the elderly people shall see visions. Huh? No? Yeah, what shall they do? They shall dream dreams. Hallelujah. Today, there's still room for us in our day to dream the dreams of heaven in the name of Jesus. And for our young people, there is still room. God is still doing those things in our lives. I want to encourage us today that God can help us and that we can see the hand of the Lord in all these things. The second thing that I want to talk about, there is still room to serve God. There is still room to serve God. We are born again, we are believers, we serve the Lord. And sometimes, as we walk in our walk with God, we get used to what we do all the time. And sometimes we are not in that place to do anything that is challenging. But today I want to challenge us on the Great Commission. I want to challenge us on the Great Commission. Get me right. I'm not saying you are not doing it, but I'm just reminding you. We have been sent, go ye therefore, and preach the gospel. And that is not the domain of pastors and evangelists. It is for every believer. There is still room for each and every one of us to win our families to Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. I know that the laws of the country may be contrary, but God gives us wisdom. Hallelujah. He gives us a way to be able to communicate the gospel under our circumstances. God has caused us to live in this generation under the circumstances, the situation, the problems, the laws, and everything that is around us. And he has given us the Holy Spirit who will help us. He will give us strategies. He will make it possible for us to go and preach the gospel. Matthew chapter 19. Hallelujah. Matthew, what does the Bible say? Go ye therefore, verse 19, go ye therefore and preach the gospel. Baptize them in the name of the Lord. Here is what I hear the Holy Spirit saying. For the River Church, it's revival time. It's revival time. You are going to baptize like never before. You will have men and women who will come here and they'll say to you, I would love to be baptized. What can I do to be baptized? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is room for that. I want you to, our pastors, our leaders, I want us to be praying. I want us to wait for that. I want us to say, Lord, here we are. Because soon and very soon, I declare by the Spirit of the living God, God is bringing a revival to this house. Why is he bringing it right now? Because it is his time. Glory be to the name of the living God. Hallelujah. It is our time and it is our season. We shall see young people coming. We shall see the elderly coming. Hallelujah. God shall use us in many different ways. Some of us that are here, I want you to look at your hands. Just look at your hands like this. Hallelujah. I see God releasing an anointing upon your life. People shall be touched and shall be healed through you. That says the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Would you like to say with me, it's our time? Hallelujah. Would you like to say that again? It's our time. Would you like to say it like you believe it? It's our time. Glory be to the name of the living God. For some of you, it's your time for your children to come back home. For some of you, it's the time for the relationships to work okay. It's for some of you, it's the time for financial breakthroughs. For some of you, it's the time for so many different things, because there is still room for God to do great things through our lives in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, talking about evangelism, I want to give three scenarios. Quickly, three scenarios that we find in the Word of God. Jesus Christ is walking and moving with his disciples, and they had gotten so much into a comfort zone. Why were they in the comfort zone? Because wherever they were with Jesus, he would multiply bread. They would get into a boat and they would travel. You know, they were so used to this life. They would sit by the Mount Olive. They would sit by different mountains where you take them. And then Jesus would minister to them. They would see demons. They had become so comfortable. And they forgot one thing. Jesus said to them, "Come after me and I will make you fishers of men." I want to remind us, ladies and gentlemen, you don't need to become a pastor. You don't need to have a position in the church. All of us, we have been called to become fishers of men. In our own marketplaces, where we work, where we have families, or where we ever find ourselves, this is still fresh and it still means the same. Come after me and I'll make you fishers of men. When the disciples had kind of forgotten that, this is what happened. They went to Samaria with Jesus. The intention of the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, was to win Samaria to God. So he gets there and he sits with them at that well. And while they were there, what the disciples were thinking about, they were thinking about their stomachs. They were thinking about how they could feed themselves. So they said, "Master, we're hungry." And Jesus said, "I'm not against feeding you. Go get something for yourselves and eat." So they went into the city. They left Jesus there. And the Samaritan woman comes there, who was a prostitute, as the Bible says. And she had an encounter with Jesus. And when she had an encounter with Jesus, the Bible says her life was transformed. And she ran into Samaria and she brought everybody to Christ. Who was supposed to do this? 12 men who had walked with Jesus, who had seen miracles and signs and everything, but they were not sensitive. They had become so used to their lifestyle. And as a result, you know, they missed that opportunity. I'm saying to us today, as we are living in our lives and doing whatever we are doing today, are we not becoming like the disciples who are getting to that place where we have become comfy? Huh? Do you use that term here? Yeah? Comfy? Yeah? Huh? Say to your neighbor, "You look like you are now comfy." Huh? We have become comfy. And sometimes when we become comfy, we forget the mandate. We forget we are called. And we have been given instruction to go and win others. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be perfect to bring people to Christ. He didn't say, "Go and be righteous first. And when you are very righteous, then bring others." No, he says, "Go as you are." You have your own weaknesses, but there's room for you to bring others to Christ. You are still struggling with somebody, something, but there's room for you to work in the kingdom. There is room for all of us, regardless of who we are, as we commit ourselves to Christ, we can win others to Christ. And may God help us. I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, you are well able. By the grace of the Lord, you are well able, by the grace of God. Again, you are well able, by the grace of God, to bring people to Christ. May I say, for those of us who have been in the Lord for a long time, should we wait for God to become very desperate until he begins to use prostitutes to win people to Christ? And what I like about Christ, maybe I'm talking to somebody who still struggle with some things. Don't condemn yourself. Don't wait for anything. You can still be someone who is bringing people to Christ the way you are. Shake your neighbor and say, the way you are. The way you are. You don't need to start by becoming better. No. You just need to apply yourself. The devil will tell you so many stories. He say, you don't qualify, you are like this, you are like that. That's why the Bible gave us an example of a prostitute who had never attended one church service. She had just said yes to Jesus, and she brought so many to Christ. I know we may say it was as a result of the prayers of the disciples, which is good. And what does that do? It encourages you and me to say, if it was the results of the prayers of the disciples, if you are an intercessor, you can't go out. Let's continue praying. Let's continue keeping. Let's continue praying for God to raise men and women. And we shall enjoy together as we see God bringing fruit. So it works both ways. The second example that I want to give is according to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. When we read in Mark chapter number 5, it talks about a lunatic. The Bible says, and they crossed over to the land of Gennesaret. And when they got there, they found a man who was by the tombs, by the graves. And this man was busy cutting himself and everything. And when they met this man doing all this stuff, and he came to Christ and he was delivered. And the man says, Lord, can I join your team in the comfy zone? Can I join this team in the comfy zone? The Lord says, no, don't join this team. I don't condemn them. I love them. They are with me. They will be with me. But they like the comfy zone. But you, go to your family. Go to the cities and tell them that you met the Lord. You met the Messiah. And the men went. The lunatic went, and the Bible says 10 cities were brought to God because of one man who said, I don't qualify, I don't have much, but what I'll do is I'll listen to what the word of the Lord says. Ladies and gentlemen, what am I endeavoring to do today? To encourage us to go and witness for Christ, to go and talk about Jesus. Even as he says to us, go ye therefore and preach the gospel. I'm not suggesting that we are not doing that, but all I am saying is maybe we can do better. Amen. Number three, which will probably become my last one before we pray, in the interest of time. There is still room for us to serve God regardless of our age. Regardless of our age. It is a blessing that we have all different generations. Some are young, some are in the middle ages, some are a bit older. But we can serve God in those different ages. Let me take your attention to Luke chapter number 2, verses 36 through to 38. Luke chapter number 2. 36 through 38. In this passage, Or let me start by Luke chapter 1, verse 18. Let me start by Luke chapter 1, verse number 18, verse 24, and verse 31. I will read. I am an old man and my wife well stricken in years. After those days, verse 24, after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Then chapter 1, verse 31, Luke chapter 1, verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. Verse 41, Luke chapter 1, verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, in these passages that we have read, there are two things that I would like us to see. Number one, we have the elderly who had waited for revival for a long time, represented by Elizabeth. Elizabeth was serving God, was faithful together with her husband, but the Bible says they had no children for a long time. But they continued to serve even though they had no children. They continued to trust God even though they had no children. Their prayers were not yet answered, but they continued to serve God. I want to encourage children of God today. You may have prayed for something for quite some time now, and you have not yet received an answer. I would like to encourage you, like Elizabeth and Zachariah, continue to wait upon the Lord. Continue to believe God, for your miracle shall come someday. God shall see you through. Delay does not necessarily mean denial. Your time shall come. The Bible talks about something called the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, God shall meet you at the point of your need. And ladies and gentlemen, for some of us, the fullness of time is today. For some of us, the fullness of time is 2025. Some of us, the fullness of time is February 2025. Some of us, the fullness of time, our time has come. I prophesy over your life right now. Rejoice in the Lord, for this is your time. May the Lord heal you. May the Lord touch you. May the Lord bring your children. May the Lord perform those miracles. May the Lord bring revival in your life. It is our time. Glory be to the name of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those that are elderly, they can still become pregnant. Pregnant with the things of the Lord. I walked with the Lord for a long time, but there's one thing that I know. I know God will bring revival. I know God will bring transformation. I know God will do it. We have waited for a long time, but we believe our God shall come through for us. Glory be to the name of the living God. When you read on the other hand, hallelujah, the Bible talks about the younger Mary, hallelujah, who was a young girl who had no experience. I pray and prophesy over this church today that God is bringing this church where both the experienced and the unexperienced are going to be pregnant with of the things of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the living God. And encourage each other and say, sister, you are new in this church. Hallelujah. But you can do great exploits for the Lord. And you say, my daughter, you are young. You are only in your 20s. God can still do something through us. There is room for you as a young girl, and there is room for me as an elderly woman. I can't walk as fast as you are, but there is room in the kingdom that you can do great exploits, because the Bible says, those who know their God shall do great exploits. And there is room for you, my brother. And there is room for you, my sister. You came last week, there is room for you. You came last year, there is room for you. You were here since the inception of this church, there is room for you. Hallelujah. God can still do great things through you. God can still do great things through all of us. So I envision right now two ladies. I envision two ladies. Who can I use? Those who will not be offended, you can just, an elderly lady.
Yeah, elderly lady, yes, please. Thank you, elderly lady. Could you come forward? Yes, please. Elderly lady. And a younger lady. A younger lady. Where's the musician? Let me take this one. Okay. Wow. Put your hands together for them. Wow. So here we have our Elizabeth. And here we have our Mary. Glory be to Jesus. But God is doing a new thing. I said God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. Those who were labeled, the Elizabeth, that they can't have children anymore, they will have our children during broad daylight when everyone can see. Elizabeth is pregnant. Huh? Walk like a pregnant woman. Do you still remember? Hallelujah. Elizabeth is pregnant. People are not expecting much from her, but she's pregnant. I want to encourage our old ladies and old men right here. Your age doesn't mean anything in the presence of the Lord. You can still do great exploits. I see you being pregnant of the things of the Lord. I see God using you in a mighty way. Arise, shake yourself, and say, there is room for me in the kingdom until the day I'm called home. I'll continue to say, Lord, here am I. If you can use anything, use this old man. If you can use anything, use this old Elizabeth. Elizabeth, walk around. Walk around, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, walk around. Yeah, walk around. You can use this old Elizabeth. Say, here am I. Lord, hear me. I want to talk to veterans in the kingdom. You knew the Lord some years back. You experienced revival. You saw the power of the Lord. I want to say to us, there is still room for more in the kingdom. Glory be to the name of the living God. Somebody say revival time. Somebody say revival time. There is a revival in the town because we have an Elizabeth who is pregnant with the things of God, who is pregnant with the growth of this church, who is pregnant with the woman's ministry, who is pregnant for different things with the mission work field. Mission field work, hallelujah. And we have got our Mary. Our Mary represents those who have no experience, represents those who say, I can't do it. Who say, I'm shy, I'm timid. Who say, I may have the potential, but I don't have the confidence. She says, I don't know anyone. I have never learned this thing. I have never done it before. But God saying, you too, you are going to be pregnant as well. So walk like a pregnant woman. Hallelujah. So we have our Marys. They don't know much, but God saying, Marys, young people, there is room. New members, there is room. Old members, there is room. Senior Christians, there is room. Pastors, there is room. Can somebody say with me, there is room? There is room in the kingdom. There is room in the house of the Lord. You are limping spiritually. There is room for you. You still have weaknesses. There is room for you. You think you can't do much. There is room for you. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Glory be to the name of the living God. Hallelujah. Somebody say it's our time. Somebody say it's our time. For both the Elizabeths and the Marys to be in the limelight, carrying the same thing. God is looking for men and women in this house, carrying the vision of this church, having the burden of the house, no matter who you are, no matter when you came. May God help us and may God remember us. In the interest of time, so that when I come next time, I will be given another opportunity to preach, I must be wise. Huh? Don't you think I must be wise? I must be wise. I want us to get to some time of prayer. I don't know what your need is. I don't know what you're going through. Even though your own dream, like Joseph, has not yet been fulfilled. You had the dream about the corns, about whatever, the sheaves, everything bowing to you. But your dream has not yet been fulfilled. There is room for you to interpret the dreams of others when you are still struggling with the interpretation and waiting for the interpretation of your own dreams. You may be sick, suffering from cancer. That doesn't stop you to lay your hands on cancer patients and you see them being healed. My wife, Grace, suffered from cancer for 14 years. And the number of people that I know that were healed completely from cancer, that are still living and giving testimonies that she prayed for, 6 people. But she was carrying cancer in her body. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at your situation and cause it to be an excuse for you not to do what you could do in the kingdom. It could be supporting financially because you can't go out. It could be just encouraging others. It could be being in this church and tell the people around you, I'm not allowed to go very far because of what we are recording, so I might call you. Can you come again, ma'am? To say to this sister, we love you because God loves you. This is your home. We'll pray for you. We'll care for you. We'll do the best that we can. Go to the other one. Oh, Sister Mary, we love you. God has sent you here for a reason. Jesus loves you, so we love you too, with all our hearts. This is the good home for you. Even if that's all you need to do, you still have your own problems and your own situations. There is room for you, even in your own difficulties, with tears flowing on your cheeks, for you to be able to minister to others. Glory be to the name of the living God. Thank you so much. I'd like us to pray. Like Pastor Rod has said, you're talking to God. Yes, you're welcome to come, Pastor. You're talking to God, and you're saying, like he said, we don't know what your story, what your issue is that you have with God. Okay, we don't know what your story, what your request is. It could be a cry for your children to come back to God. There's still room. Let's keep crying. It could be your financial situation, which is upside down. There's still room. I don't know what you need from the master. Or you are saying, Lord, help me, give me the confidence to serve, whatever it is. There's still room in this house this morning. There's a special anointing. God can touch you and can cause a change over your life.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Peter. Well, we want to, as we said, offer the prayer line. So if you would like to receive a prayer touch, and that's what it's going to be, just a touch in prayer, you can form a line coming down the middle right here, and we'll meet you right here. And now I want to say to the rest of the church, if that's not you, you're two things. One, you're welcome to stay for a bit and be in prayerful attendance. We have a few more minutes left praying for those coming. If you need to slip out, we understand that too. And if you just carefully and quietly, you know, make your way out today, that's fine. I mean, in the back, is there going to be, I think, some coffee and stuff? So, yeah, there's things back there. But so we'll just leave that to you, to how you want to handle that. But for those of you that want to receive prayer, make a line right here. And, you know, if you don't mind, I'd like to have prayer. So maybe I'll start it. I'll sort of prime the pump, if you will. All right? Come on, everybody. That's